Good morning, and once again, we have a big day. It's our Shabbos, and we are a little bit up on these huge dafim, trying to speak slowly, but I'm also trying to get in all the words. I'm also trying to get in pshat, also trying to get in a little bit of ashkafa that's behind all the pshat. So let's see what we could do again as we try to. Welcome back, Alicia. Welcome back, Alicia. Great to have you here. Okay, Randav Yud Amid Beis. Just move it back a little bit. Okay. Randav Yud Amid Beis. As I was saying, we have a big daf today. We're about halfway up the Amid from yesterday's daf, and we're trying to finish up before Shabbos today's daf while trying to getting in as much as we can. So let's get started here. We're on He Mutz Eis. We're about a third of the way down, about 13 lines down or so on Yud Amid Beis. He Mutz Eis. We're in the middle of Tamar. Today we're going to have Tamar, the story of Tamar and Yehuda. Some famous lines there, some famous gemaras there that we know about. Then a big story about Shalom. Anyway, some very interesting stuff that's coming up. He Mutz Eis continues the story about Tamar, that she literally was found. What do you mean he? He Mutz Eis me, by the way. I shouldn't say that she was kind of forcibly found. She was kind of put in that situation. Amar, Rebbe Elazar, la'achar shenimsu simoneha. No. After they found the simoneha, meaning that after she said that she has the simonim for Yehuda to recognize, like the stick, Bas Samael, the bad angel Samael, Verichkon, he kind of like hid them, and he took them away from her because he knew that the only way she's going to not have the death penalty is if she shows Yehuda that these are really his, and therefore she'll be let go. But Gavriel Vakirvan, so Gavriel, wait, as we have this fight between the angels, Gabriel came and brought them closer. Amazing. For the conductor, so to say, for the mute dove, who was Rachok le David Michtam. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. What does that mean? Mishoshenis Rachku Simoneha. That at the moment when the Simonim that Yehuda gave her were no longer with her, Nasus Kiyona Ilemas, then she was like a mute dove. She had nothing with her, meaning without those things, she was a dunsky. There was no way for her to get out of it. Le David Michtam. What's the reference to David in this pasuk? If we're speaking about Tamar being some sort of mute dove, she yotza mena David shayamach v'tam lakol. Because we know that from that union, as we discussed a few days ago, from that union, David HaMelech came out of that tree. And David HaMelech is, as we know, mach v'tam lakol. He's low, so to say, humble, tam, perfect, like Yaakovina, right? Tam, right? Ish tam, yoshev olim. Amazing. Dover acher, michtam shaysa michto tama. Or maybe when we speak about David HaMelech, it's not that he was kind of humble, more character traits, but michto tama. Maybe he was born mahul. Maybe he was born that his makom mila, he didn't need a bris mila. He was born complete. Shenolad kshu mahul, he was born like he was amo. Dover acher, michtam kishem shebekat nuso hiktin atzmo etzel misha gadol mimen a little motora. Maybe then that when he was younger, he kind of lowered himself to learn Torah from those who knew more than him. Kach begaluso. So too when he got older, the Bach heads in. Kach begaluso. Hikden atzmo eitzel misha gadolmen olilmo Torah. That means that even though he became great, he still lowered himself in areas of Torah to always be learning from those who were bigger than him in Torah. Yishochal elchameha lemar. Elchamia lemar. That she sent these simanim to her father-in-law, to Yehuda, saying, Le'ish asher elo, to the man who these belong, Anochi hara, I am impregnated by him. Why didn't she just say, Yehuda, it's yours? Yehuda, these belong to you. Why say it in such a circuitous way? Amar Rav Zutra bar Tuvia Amar Rav. Or, V'amri la Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shim l'Chasida. Or, V'amri la Amar Rav Yochanan Mishim Rav Shim ben Yochai. Famous line, Noach lo ladam sheyipol, sheyapol atzmo l'toch kivshan ha'esh. It's better for a person to jump into a fiery furnace, al yalbin p'nei chaveru b'rabim, not to embarrass his friend in public. Minalan mitamar. From the story of Tamar, we know that that's why a person, or that it's better to literally kill ourselves, to jump into a fiery furnace, and not to embarrass our friend in public. Tosa says, wait. Really? We should kill ourselves instead of embarrassing our friend in public? So it's one of the big three, but it's not one of the big three. Avodah Zarah, Giloy Arayos, and Shvichas Damim. We know the big three. We've got to kill ourselves instead of doing them. Nowhere on that list is, don't embarrass your friend in public. Oh, so you're saying like the Rabbeinu Yonah. Oh, beautiful, like the Rabbeinu Yonah. Anyway, so the impression here discussed, but the Rabbeinu Yonah says, you're right, it is included because the blood rushes to a person's face. The Meiri, not so much. But anyways, nice discussion here. We should be very careful as to how we treat other people, certainly in public. Haker no, Amar Bichama. That then Tamar says, Haker no, meaning it's a separate statement. Do you recognize these, so to say? Rabbi Amar, Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, the Haker Biser lo Aviv, that Yehuda, when else did the word Haker come up in Sefer Bereishis?
By Yehuda and Yaakov. When he took the sheep. He took sheep's blood and he put it in.
Oh, good. Very excellent. Thank you, Pesach. Beautiful. The Yehuda told Yaakov Avinu, Haker, don't you recognize this? Yosef's dead. Ooh. Meaning, he was just showing him the tunic, the Ksonos Apasim, with blood on it. Oh boy, Haker, do you remember this? So, Bahaker Bistruhu, then were his downfall, so to say, the Mida Keneged Mida, which we've been discussing the last few blood, is again in the word Haker. Bahaker Bisir, Haker no, Haksonas bin Chahi. That pasuk is, do you remember this Ksonas? Bahaker Bistru, Haker no, Lemi. No! And what do you mean, no? Haker no, Lemi, says Tamar. No, a no, El Lashon Bakasha. The word no is like a Shon Bakasha. Where else do we have no in Sefer Bereishis? Oh, beautiful, Larry. Thank you. Oh, beautiful. Kach na espincha. I heard Rav bring down a while ago that perhaps one of the Mepharshim say that Hashem wasn't even commanding him to bring Yitzchak. He couldn't command him to bring his son. It's like a plushim akasha. Avram, can you please do this? I can't force you to do this, but can you please do this? Amazing. Ein na elashon bakasha. Perhaps there's some sort of reference here. Tamar says to Yehuda, right? I kindly, humbly request of you, Haker Pnei Borecha, right? Humble yourself. Like, do tshuva before Hashem. Val talam einecha menu. Don't hide your eyes from me. Like, vayakir Yehuda, vayomer tzod kamimeni. Yehuda says the famous word, tzod kamimeni. She's right. Hayinu de amar Rav Chanan bar Bizna, amar Rav Shimon bar Chasida, Yosef shekidosh, shek, Yosef, shek, Kodash Shem Shemaim B'Seser, Yosef, who literally was Mekana Shem Shemaim B'Seser, in private, when, where? Oh, with the wife of Potiphar. He did not succumb to her trying to seduce him. Zocha V'Hosifo Lo Os Achas Mishmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we know that in Sefer Tehillim, we have a pasuk that says, Diksiv, Eidos B'Hosef Shemo. We add an extra hey, so to say, to show that Hashem was really kind of adding on his name to him. Yehuda Shekide Shem Shemayim B'Farhesya. Yehuda that is Mekadosh Shem Shemayim B'Farhesya in public. Saying, Tzad Kami Meni. Zocha V'Nikr Kulo Al Shem Shemo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His whole name is Hashem. Hoda Yehuda. The letters of Yehuda are Yud Kei Vav, right? It's all in there. Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's all in there. It's amazing. His whole name is there. Oh, we should all be jumping out of our seats and asking what? We just said Yosef gets an extra letter in Tehillim. Yosef Shem, great. So Yosef, but now he has a hey. Yehuda was so great that what? His whole name's Hashem's name from birth. Oh, okay, tough. We're not jumping out of our seats. Okay, tough. It's fine. Okay, great. Okay, moving on. perhaps it's going back to what we said before. Anyways, I mean, it's right. Avram has an extra hey added on from Avram to Avram. Sarai to Sarah. Right, we add letters on to names.
Added, he was born with.
But he was born. So what? I mean, if we're going to say, and I don't know the answer to this. If we're going to say that Hashem adds all letters to people's names, like he did with Yosef, clearly here by Behosef Shemo, or by Avram and Sarah, then he adds on letters to names. But by Yehuda, we're saying it's so great that he was born with it. I don't know. So, anyways.
Yeah, but I saw an answer actually yesterday in here.
Wow. Oh, and?
Yehuda's mother was Leah.
Right.
Leah.
Right. Yeah. Tom, right? Now.
Leah was his mother, right?
Right. And now so she thinks
that his name really should have been Hodah.
Right.
But she called him Yehuda because she had like Ruach HaKodesh like that of what would come out of him in the end with the whole Tamar story.
Beautiful. Thank you. Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. Great. Well, let's all be jumping out of our seats and asking these questions, answering these questions, learning together. Tov. Kevon Shehoda, right? Because he was Hoda, V'amar Tzad Kamen, Yosabaskol, V'amra, Ato Yitzalto Tamar Ushne Bonamina, or that you saved Tamar and her two kids from the fire. She was about to be killed. Chayecha, I swear, Shani Masel B'Shuzcha Gimel Mivonecha Mina, or that Hashem, so to say, swearing that that Yehuda will have three descendants who will also be saved from the fire. Who are his three descendants? Manino. Alicia, you could say it. Excellent. Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. They're the descendants in Sefer Daniel, the whole story there, and that's why they were saved. Mida, Kineged Mida, so to say. He saved them, and they were saved too. Tzodka Mimeni, Mna Yoda. How did Yehuda know that she was really impregnated by him? Great, so she has his staff, so they were together. But she was a Zona, right? Or at least she was, she was a Zona. She might have been with 100 people since then. Oh, Tzod, come in, and she's right. Really? She's pregnant for me. How does he know that? Great, so now he knows a little bit that they were together. How does he know that? Says the Gemara, a very Pasha kind of question. The Gemara asks Pasha questions. We should all be asking these questions. How does he know that? Mina Yada? Yotzko Baskol Varma. It was a Baskol that said it. What did the Baskol say? Mimeni Yotzuk Vushin. That it's really for me. These things are hidden from me. Which means that it wasn't even Yehuda that said the word Mimeni. So come in. It wasn't even Yehuda. Amazing. So it wasn't even Yehuda that said, and Yehuda was really kind of, we according to this iteration, it's not Yehuda that said it. But nevertheless, we still say that it's his whole name, and he saved her in public, and so maybe he kind of went along with it, but it's an unbelievable thing that here we say that was a baskol that was validating the fact that it was really from him.
Look, chess player.
Meaning what?
Yehuda was a chess player, meaning Hashem was directing it.
Beautiful. Like he is with all of us, right?
So he was a pawn.
If only we allow ourselves to be pawns, or whatever we are, allow ourselves to be moved in the right direction. Recognize what we mean. Oh, okay. I was about to share a thought on the Parsha, and I'm going to hold off right now because we have a big daf.
Baskol usually refers to, like matchmaking between two souls in heaven.
Baskol, right? On daf base.
Amazing.
Baskol, that a baskol goes out and says, right, bas mi l'mi, right?
Yeah. So it's kind of strange that
Good question. Okay. V'lo yasaf od l'daita. And what does that possibly mean? So right after, right? So she's no longer killed. Life goes on. They live happily ever after. But what happens, actually? Amar Shmuel Saba. Chamudra of Shmuel Ba'ami. Shmuel Saba. Says the name of his father-in-law, Rav Shmuel Ba'ami. They have the same name. Shmuel Saba. And his father-in-law had the same name, Shmuel. Oh, so that's Chaim Stepelman. After Shachar's yesterday, he had three answers as to how that could be. This is coming up here. This is still on yesterday's daf. But Chaim Stepelman gave three answers as to how that could be. Ayin Shum asked him again for a reminder. Mishmeidr of Shmuel Barami. And they all said, by the way, in the name of Rav Shmuel Barami. Kevan Shiyada, that once he began to get to know her, Rashi, powerful Rashi, a few lines up from where Rashi ends. Kevan Shiyada, Shayada Boshihit Tzadekes. Once he knew that it wasn't just they were, oh, she's right that we were together. But she wasn't just a Zona, but she was a real Tzadekes. L'shem Shemaim Niska. And she was really doing the Lashem Shemaim so that Mashiach can really come from there. Shuvlo Pasach Mena, that he did not separate from her. They stayed together. That the word Yosaf means that they didn't stop being together. And we say by the Aseres Hadibros, Kol Gadol Velo Yosaf. That means that the voice went out, it projected outwards, and it didn't end. So Hashem's voice kept on going. Bligvul, so to hear, it kept on going. Avshalom! Famous story about Avshalom. Right, we had the Mishnah that spoke about Shimshon Mida Keneged Mida. Then his eyes got blinded because he followed his eyes a little bit. Then we had the story of Tamar and Yehuda, a whole Mida Keneged Mida. Now we have more about Avshalom continuing along in the Mishnah, the different stories that came up about how Mida Keneged Mida works. And this is all, by the way, going back to what? Mesecha Sota, where the Sota is Mida Keneged Mida also. Everything that she does goes all the way back. Avshalom Nisga Besaro V'chul. We have Avshalom, by the way, the whole story of Avshalom is fascinating. In Shmuel Beis, I highly recommend to go through it again. It's just unbelievable. It's emotional. It's dramatic. It's powerful. He literally was rebelling against his father. He made his father leave Yerushalayim. He slept with his father's 10 concubines, and it's unbelievable. Like what was going on there and the drama behind the story. And let's continue to see it inside a little bit. But we know that Avshalom was riding on his parrot. He was riding on the mule right outside the old city there, and his hair, which he was very arrogant. His hair was like beautiful, long hair. It was like kind of. And kind of like the old movies, like where they show people with like that long. So that was like his hair, apparently, from the Gemara. And his hair got caught in the tree. The mule kept on going. He was hanging. And then the Gemara's going to discuss what happened. But in the area in which he was so niska, and the area in which he was so arrogant, that's the way that he died. That was his downfall. Turn our button. Avshalom Basari Marad. Avshalom literally rebelled with his hair, with his base desires. Shemar Uch. Uch Avshalom lo haya ish yafeh v'chulu. He was the most beautiful man. Uvegilchos rosho v'yimiketz yamim liyamim. He would get all these haircuts. Hashar yigalech ki chaveda lav. Right, his hair was very heavy. Vegilcho v'shokal es shar rosho masayim shkolim be'evan ha melach. That it was worth like 200 shkalim in like the stones of the king, so to say. Tana evan she'anchei tiferi v'anchei tzipori shoklamba. Right? It was very heavy kind of stones, meaning it was very expensive. It was worth so much. Lefikach nitla besaros. Therefore, because he was so into his hair, he was hung with his hair. Shenemar vayikra avshalom lefnei avdei David v'avshalom rochei v'al haperet. He was riding on his parrot. V'yavar haperet tachas shovei ha'ela hagdola v'yochaz rosho be'ela v'yotan ben hashemayim ben aretz. He was hanging. V'haperet asher tachtav, and the mule which is below him, avar shokal safsira ba'o lemifsake. So he's hanging there. What does he do? He whips out a sword and he wants to chop off his hair that's hanging onto the tree so he can land on the ground. Because otherwise, he's going to die. Tana devei Rabbi Shmuel ba'osa shah. Rabbi tried to do that. Nivkash omi tachtav. He looks down and, oh boy, there's that endless pit. It's Gehenna. If he cuts his hair off, he's falling deep down. It's not just a short little 3-foot drop down to the ground. He's falling all the way down into Gehenna. Vayirgaz HaMelech, amazingly powerful line, amazingly powerful line. Vayirgaz HaMelech, Vayal Aleyes HaShar, Vayefk, V'cho Omar Belechto. Right? David HaMelech, when he hears that his son was killed, passed away, he was crying. He was mourning. He was sad. It was like, oh, my son's killed. Now I can come back from Hebron finally. Or now I can come back to my own home and be the king again. That my son trying to literally overtake the whole monarchy and like totally ruin it. But like the love between a parent and child, love between, I think I remember hearing this on a shir from Rabbi Schaefer on the Shmooze. I don't remember which Shmooze it was. By the way, it's a great app, theshmooze.com. It's a wonderful app with all these kinds of shirim. I remember hearing the shir about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, and it was unbelievable to hear the power between the love of the father and the son, that no matter what happened, the love was still there so, so strong. We should recognize that no matter where we go, what we do in our lives, what we've done in the past, Hashem's love is always still there for us too. B'ni Avshalom B'ni is crying. David HaMelech is crying. B'ni Avshalom B'ni. B'ni Avshalom, mi tein mosi ani tachtecha. I surely be dying instead of you. Why? Because as we're going to see on the top of Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, that really because of his sin with Bathsheba, that's really why this whole thing unfolded in front of him. Avshalom b'ni b'ni, v'hamelech la'ades, panov v'yizak hamelech kol gadol, b'ni Avshalom, Avshalom b'ni b'ni. He said Avshalom, hani tamanya b'ni lamali. He said Avshalom 8 times in that cry. Why say Avshalom 8 times? Or why say the word b'ni 8 times? Shiva da'aski mi shiva mi dori gehenim. 7 times. Why? To bring him up from the 7 levels of gehenim, of hell. V'idoch in the 8th, ikadami to carve reshe l'gabi. Gufei, that either because he wanted to reconnect, so to say, Avshalom's head and body, which were disconnected. So he wanted to make sure those two can come together in the grave. No, because he was only brought up from 7 levels of Gehenna, but he wasn't in. Olam Haba yet. He wasn't in like a good place yet. He was just out of bad places. So from Rav Asay Tov, like to put him into good places too. Avshalom lokach yitzav lo bechayav. Avshalom literally, kind of going back on the story a little bit, Avshalom literally built some sort of matseva to be remembered in his lifetime. My lakach, what does he mean lakach? Amr shlokesh, shlokach, mekach, ra'al atzma. He made a bad decision. Es matseva sasher be'emek hamelech v'chulu, that was in the valley. Amr b'chinim bar papa be'etza amuka shel malcho shel olam. This was all part of Hashem's divine plan. Such a powerful Rashi, 3 lines up from the bottom. Etza amuka shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shu melech olam, shegazral David kain b'maisa b'sheva. It's amazing that because of the Ma'aseh Batsheva, that's why Hashem decreed that, so to say, there would be rebellion in his house, as we're about to see. And what we recognize from this Rashi, very simple Gemara, is that when things happen in our lives, even though they can be decisions from other people, Avshalom made a free will decision what he was going to do, but Hashem is really behind and pulling the strings in everything that takes place. That the Navi tells David about, that he'll have some challenges in his own home. So to the word Amek, we have it elsewhere. Kayotze B'davar, Ata Omer. In Parshas Vayeshev, coming up a lot of Sefer Bereishis here. Vayishalchehu me'emek Chevron, from the depths of Chevron. This is when Yaakov sends Yosef out there. Amazing. So much Chevron also the last couple of days in Parshas Chayisara. So much Chevron. Beautiful. Amar Chinei Bar Papa, be'etz amuka shal osu tzadik. Avram Avinu, as Rashi says, shekavor be'chevron, who is buried in Chevron. And the Rashi before that says, v'utchilas sibas yiridas Yisrael le'mitzrayim. That we know that depth there, meaning Hashem set this all up, he orchestrated those events so that the Bnei Yisrael can go down to Mitzrayim. So Yosef went there, and then he saw them, and then they saw them, and he went down. So Hashem, again, Hashem was orchestrating these events. Because Hashem said that the grandchildren will be Gerim, will be kind of foreigners in the land. That's referring to Mitzrayim, and that's what took place. Back to Avshalom, ki amar ein li ben. He said, I don't have a son. Lo have a le b'ni. B'nei. Did Avshalom not really have kids? Avshalom had three sons and a daughter. What do you mean he didn't have any kids? Why build a matzeva? Amar Yitzchak, two answers. Amar Yitzchak Parah, Avdimi, Shalhailo Ben Hagon. No, he didn't have any Ben Hagon Lamalchos. He didn't have anybody that can really take him over. He wasn't going to have progeny that was going to take over his position, and therefore he wanted to build a matzeva. Rav Chista Amar Gemiri. We have a tradition, Kol Asorif Tivoso Shal Chavero. Whoever burns his friend's field, Eino Meniach Ben Liorsho, will not leave a Ben, a son, to inherit him. We know that Avshalom burned Yoav's fields, and therefore he won't have a son to inherit him. The Maral, the Yom Yaakov, there's a lot of depth there about some sort of burning his friend's field is not, is like, it's more metaphorical, his friend's field, more of the Zera of his friend because of what he was doing. I didn't really understand it, but feel free to take a look at the Yom Yaakov, or at the Maral, for a more deep approach to what this line means.
It's very interesting because he's the one that built the matzeva for himself, as
correct.
Memory.
Correct.
Because that he burned someone's field, so that's why he knew he's not going to have. It's very strange logic.
Interesting. You're right.
He's not going to have a yoresh, so he built himself a matzeva.
You're right. The first one is because he knew Shlo Hayelo Ben Hagon Lamalchus. Like, he knew that his kids just weren't going to take over. But he wasn't Hagon Lamalchus either.
Yeah, maybe he knew that none of his kids could become king for some reason.
Interesting. And the next one.
The second one is strange.
You're right. That's a very interesting point. Viu Kaldye Aladiokas, he burned Yov's field. We're gonna burn them in fire. They burnt it in fire. Great, so we had all these Mida Puranas, all these challenges, the Mida Kenegan Mida. But then we have Mida Hatova, says the Mishnah that what? Miriam did what? For how long? Well, the Mishnah says an hour, but you're right. It might not be an hour. I think there's a Tosis, right? Tosis here says I think it might not be an hour. But we know that what did the B'nai Yisrael do for her?
Wait 7 days.
So it's not exactly Mita Kenegan Mita, but it's much more than that. So Mita Tova seems to be great. Mi dummy, wait. But says the Gemara, wait. Sorry, I'm a step ahead. Mi dummy. Hosam. Chadashaita. Here's 1 hour. In the Mishnah, it's 1 hour. Hacha Shiva Yomi. But here, with Miriam, they waited 7 days. So it's not exactly parallel. Am Rabbaya, Ema Ul Inin Tova Inokin. No, but Inin Tova, it's not that way. So we said, by Linin Tova, can't, like, it's the same thing. So maybe Linin Tova, it's not the same thing. Amrali Rava, Ha Vechain Linin Tova Katani. But we do say Vechain. So what do you mean? You're going to change the word Chain to Inokin? It's not exactly the same. And it's Gemara, Elam Rava, Ha Katani. Chain Linin Tova, Deba O Samida. No, literally, there's similarity between the two. Ula Ola Mida Tova, Miruba Mida Pranos. I have that line underlined here, right? That you're right, it's similar. So there's going to be paid back, a person's going to be paid back for something. She waited, so they'll wait for her, but it's just much better. So we have all these things about negative. Positive is much, much better. I can only imagine that what Hashem is going to give us for waking up sometimes in the wee dark hours of the pre 6 o'clock a.m. hours to come on Torah together. And she kind of stood from far. This, the fact that, right, that the sister was kind of waiting from afar. Rabbi Yitzchak says that is all reference to Hashem, the Shechina. Nemar, right? Vateisatzav tiksev vayivo Hashem vayisatzev v'gomer. Achos tiksev emor lachochma achosiat. Merachok tiksev merachok Hashem nirali. Ladas tiksev ki eila deos Hashem. Ma tiksev ma Hashem elokecha shol meimach. Yaseh tiksev ki lo yaseh Hashem elokim davar. Lo tiksev vayikra lo Hashem Shalom. Right, so we have all these words in that pasuk there that describes how Miriam was waiting from afar to make sure that Moshe was okay. So we reference Hashem for each of those words in a different pasuk elsewhere to show that it was really Hashem that was kind of watching over Moshe in that circumstance. Vayaka melech chadosh v'chulu, says the Gemara, famous Gemara, Ravu Shmuel chad amar chadosh mamash v'chad amar shenes chadshuk zeirosav. Either it's a new king or he just kind of renewed his decrees. Mad amar chadosh mamash tiksev chadosh. Melech Chadash, brilliant, a new king. Great, right? Practical, awesome. Umanda Marshin is Chachuk Zerosov, and the one who says no, it was really renewed decrees, Delog Siv Ayamas Vayimloch. Never tells us that this king died, just says Ayaka Melech Chadash. So therefore, it's not necessarily the case that it's a new king, we never knew that the other king died. So maybe it's the same king with new decrees. Ashalo Yadas Yosef continues the pasuk there, that he didn't know Yosef, Dehavadomi Kamandal Yodaleklau, as we know the famous lie. You know, is because it's not like he didn't know him. He made it like he didn't know him and all the goodness that Yosef did for Mitzrayim. Vayomer Alamo, hine am b'nei Yisrael, the Jewish problem. Right? Perhaps it's the first time in Jewish history. We have people coming up and calling it the Jewish problem. By the way, also interesting, when is the first time we were ever called B'nai Yisrael ever in the Torah? By Paro. Paro. Which I just thought when I was learning this and I heard this, that what? Maybe sometimes we only become like a B'nai Yisrael after we have external anti-Semitism and threats. First, we're 12 Shvatim. We're doing our own things. We're different. I come to Israel. You know, are you Dati? Are you Chardal? Are you American Charit? Like, what are you? And all of a sudden, but when the non-Jews try to kill us, it's just the Jews, the Israelis. There is no differentiation. So maybe sometimes it takes outside forces, sadly, to be able to us to recognize it. It doesn't matter how we label ourselves within the, within the greater kind of the B'nai Yisrael framework. Tana. Who Hiskel be'etza tchila? The Viga Chalaka tchila. That because Paro was the one who initiated this, and he started to get this stuff started, so too he was hit first. Who Hiskel be'etza tchila dixiv ayomar elamo? The Viga Chalaka tchila. So he was hit first. Dixiv uvacho uvamcho v'chol avadecho. That Paro was the one who was affected by the Makos. Hava neschak malo. What should we do to them? Lohem miboy. I shouldn't say to them. No. Amr b'chama b'rebechina bol Unechachem lemoshi'an shel Yisrael. I mean, they really wanted to wage war against not just the Jewish people, but against Hashem. Bamet nidonam. So what are they going to be? Bamet nidonam. How will they be judged? Nidonam be'esh. Ksiv hini Hashem ba'esh yavo. Ksiv ba'esh Hashem nishbot v'chulu. Bacherev. Ksiv u'bacharbo eskol basar. Ela bovi nidonam b'mayim. Shekvar nishba ha'kadosh baruch ha'shenim evi mabul l'olam. So they said what? Let's try to kill the B'nai Yisrael. How? Let's throw the kids into water. Why? Because they knew that Hashem promised never to bring a marble again. Great. So there's going to be no more marble. Let's throw the kids into water. We know, again, what have we been saying the last few days, that there's mida kineged mida. So if we throw the kids into water, Hashem's going to want to throw us into water. But Hashem can't bring a marble anymore. Hashem, we outsmarted you. Shnemar ki mei noach zos levchul. Hashem won't bring the marble. They need on yodin, but they didn't know that there might be two ways out of this. Why sh'al kol olam kulo eni maybe? That Hashem won't bring a marble on the whole world again. Avalal umahas, who maybe, but he could bring it on one nation. Inam, alternatively, who eno maybe? Meaning, maybe Hashem won't bring a flood into the world. Avalhein bun v'noflim zoho, they fell into water. Hashem didn't flood the world or even flood one nation, but they literally ran into a seabed and then the water just came crashing down. Yes? Let's all get the picture. Let's all get the picture when Hashem sends us light messages, so that Hashem does not have to send harsher messages. Nechenu Omer uMitzrayim Nisim Likras, so that the Mitzrayim ran into the water. Vayinu Omer Blazer Ma'adik Siv Kibidaver Asher Zodu Aleim. That the same thing that they tried to do to them, Bikder Shebishlo Ba Nispashlu. That in the same way, in the same pot that a person wants to, so to say, cook somebody else, in the same way that a person wants to hurt somebody else, banis bashlu, that's how they get hurt. Like, what's another reference to this?
Own, it's like a taste of their own medicine.
Excellent. Beautiful way to say it. And just like the person that, the same person that I'm, a very similar reference that Ray Rosner brings down is Haman, I'm going to build this gallows, 50 hours, right, for Mordechai. The same gals that he built, that's where he gets hung. It's just amazing how Hashem orchestrates these things to happen. My mashma, the high zodu lishna, dikderhu. What do you mean zodu is now this pot? Diksiv vayosed Yaakov, nizit. Right? So we have this zodu in the way that they tried to hurt. So we have that in reference to a pot. Amr chibraba, amr rebi simai, shlosha hayu ba'osa eitza. Famous Gemara again. There were three, they should all be famous Gemaras. Now that we're in the family, we should hopefully know them all, right? But there were three people who literally took counsel with Paro. Bilam, the Eov, the Yisra. Right, at least it's according to the opinion that Eov existed, that he wasn't just as but Eov was around. So Bilam, Eov, Vistro, Bilam, Sheyoatz. Now let's understand exactly what approach each of these three took and how they were dealt with by Hashem. Bilam, Sheyoatz, Bilam that said, let's get rid of the Jews, Nerag. Bilam was eventually killed. Eov, Sheshasak, Eov that was kind of in between, he was just quiet. Nidon, Bisurin. Hashem challenged him a lot. Yisro, Shebarach, Yisro that ran away. Zahum, Ibn, right, because he didn't want to have anything to do with it. Zachu mibnei banav sheyashvu belishkas hagozes, and he was able to be. He merited having descendants that were sitting in the Sanhedrin. Shenemar umishpachto sofrim, the families of scribes. So to say, yoshvei yavatz, they came from yavatz. Taritim shematim sochachim hema hakinim abay machmas avi beis rechav. Uksivim we see in Shoftim ubnei keni chasan Moshe v'chulu. Right, and that's referring to chasan Moshe. That's referring to Yisro. just interesting that the Toras HaKenos says that it's Mida Kenegan Mida. Yisro gave up his job as an advisor. He was an advisor to Paro. He was an advisor.
He was also Gilgul Kain.
Great, great. So Yisro was an advisor. He was giving advice. Hashem then allowed his descendants to give advice, to be the advisors of Klal Yisro. Much, much more here, but let's go on. V'nilcham banu. V'ola min ha'aretz. Right? Let us kind of wage war against them. Paro says that they'll fight against us and they'll go from the land. Right? So that's why Paro's saying that we have to kind of kill all them because they're going to wage war against us. V'ola min ha'aretz. But Allah seems to be, right? And they're going to make us go up. But us, v'alinu mibayle. It should be that we're going to have to be rejected from our land. And that's what they're going to do. So let's kill them first. Amar Yabba bar Kana. Ka'adam shemekalas atzmo v'tola kiloso b'chavero. No, it's like when a person kind of curses his friend out. No, it's like when a person is, so to say, cursing himself, v'tola kiloso v'chavero, and he kind of like throws his kind of friend into it. Sometimes we kind of project what's happening to us outwards on other people. V'yisimo lov, sorry, misim, and they placed upon him, literally, sorry, misim, officers, but why to say a love, a lamb in mibayelei? Shouldn't it be plural again, alehem, on them, on the Jews? Ton devei, Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, melamet sheheviu malben, they brought a brick, v'talu lo leparo b'tzavaro. They brought a brick and they hung it around Paro's neck. And if anyone of the Jews said, oh, istinasani, I can't work, I just don't do that kind of stuff. Amrlo, klum istinus atayoter mi Paro, are you more of an istinus, more of a sensitive person, you can't use your hands and build more than Paro, the Melech Mitzrayim? So, olav, vayosimu olav, sorry, misim is reference that they placed the brick onto Paro, not onto Bnei Yisrael, and then that's what caused the Bnei Yisrael to do so. Sorry, misim, right, sorry, misim, davar shemesim, it's something, so to say, that like inflicts pain on others. Leman anoso besivlo sam, so that they could pain them in their burdens. Anosom miboyle, I shouldn't say anosom, not anoso again, why singular? Leman anoso lefaro besivlo sam. What does that mean? Sorry, leman anoso lefaro besivlo sam d'Yisrael. Rashi, where's the Rashi here? Leman anoso lefaro, just a few lines up from where we are. Beshvil sivlo sam d'Yisrael. Right? That because of the sivlos of Yisrael, that's what caused it. Vayiven ore miskenos lefaro, and they built ore miskenos. What does that mean? Miskenos? That they built these cities of miskenos lefaro? Rav Shmuel. Chad amar shemesavnos espalan, and the worship would be changed to, or shemesavnos alan. And the Rashi explains here that what? Nistachnu Mitzrayim litova bayam. That it was just that, like, they built these things that were dangerous. That apparently it was like some sort of, it was like a dangerous kind of work. And if I'm not mistaken, what this is referring to is that every time they built it, hold on a second, it was dangerous work. And we have the Chadamer Shemisavnos Esbalan. Right. I think that it consumed the people. That because people were drowning, it was a dangerous thing to build. So people were getting hurt. Actually, it was literally hurting people physically. It was painful, and people were dying from the work that they were doing. V'chadomar, no, shemimaskinos espalan, that became poor, right? Because
impoverished their owners.
That will impoverish their owners. Adamarmar, because Rashi says, what does it mean that it will impoverish their owners? Kol osik v'binyan mismasken. Sorry, these six words, Rashi takes out these six words in that Rashi there, but it was impoverishing their owners. Es pisom es ramses, these two cities, Rav Shmuel Chanamar pisom Shema. One says that it was called pisom v'lamanekra Shema Ramses, that means that it was one city. So why call it Ramses? Sherishon rishon misroses. That because it was crumbling underneath them. Chanamar Ramses Shema, v'lamanekra Shema pisom. So why call it pisom if it's really called Ramses? Sherishon rishon pitahom bolo. Because it was like building in quicksand. And we learned the Rambam a few days ago that described that what can't we do to an Eved? That we can't give him work that's backbreaking work or work that's meaningless that will never actually happen. They were trying to break the backs of Klal Yisrael, not just with hard back-breaking work, or with dangerous work, but with work that was meaningless. Even if we work really hard on nothing, but at the end of the day we built something, like my daughter yesterday, she built a tower, and then, you know, my baby came over, like knocked it over, she was devastated. All that work for nothing, devastated! If we built, but nothing comes out of it, it can be a very, very meaningless kind of thing. V'kasher ya'anu oso, and as much as he torched them, kin yirbe v'chein yifrotz, they had more kids. Kin rabba v'chein partzu mivoyle. What do you mean? Kin yirbe v'chein yifrotz. Shouldn't it be again in plural that they had more kids? Amar ish lakish ruach kodesh mivasartan. No, it was ruach ha-kodesh that was informing them. Kin yirbe v'chein yifrotz, that so too they will be more, kind of like they will have more and more kids. Vayikutzu mibnei Yisrael. They were disgusted by the Jewish people. Let me show you. Domin be'enam kikosin. That we were like in their eyes like thorns. It's amazing how this kind of echoes a similar sentiment throughout the generations. Vayividu Mitzrayim es b'nei Yisrael. And they worked the b'nei Yisrael b'farach. Again, we're just kind of like preparing for Pesach in about 5 months. All these stories. Or for the Parsha in just a few weeks. Rabbi Lazar Amar b'perach. That it was some sort of perach that they worked them b'perach. How do they work them at Perach with a soft mouth? Because when they started, it was very kind of soft. Okay, great. You know, now you guys can have some jobs. We'll give you a little bit of work to do. Paro's got this brick around his neck too. Let's all do this together. That's how they got started. Rebbe Shmuel Bar Nachman Yamar. No, Bipricha. Again, it was backbreaking work. So Bipperach is not just Bipperach with a soft mouth, but it's a Pricha with the backbreaking kind of work. By Yemararu Eschayem Ba'avodah Kasha, Bechomer Ubuvenim, Bechomer, Amarava Betchila Bechomer Ubuvenim. Really, it was first with like the bricks and the mortar. Levasov Ubechol Avodah Besadeh, and then it became with everything. And it's called Varosama Sharavdu Vem Befarah. With all the work that is backbreaking work. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmini, Amar Rabbi Yonasan Shayu Machlifin Melechas Anoshim, Anoshim. That they gave work that was designed for women. For men to the women, umulechas noshim, and work that was designed for women, le'anoshim, for men. Certain genders have an atia, an inkling towards certain kinds of work, and when it's not done in that certain way, it can be another type of challenge. Nami hosam beferach, bepricha. And according to the one who says that it was beperach, with just a soft mouth, here too, because everybody agrees that they switched the work for men and for the women, that even though it might not have been backbreaking kind of work, it started with beperach, so to hear, it is pricha also. So according to the opinion that says it was bepricha, maybe you wouldn't agree that it was perach with a soft mouth, but according to the opinion that says it was with a soft mouth, he would agree that it was also backbreaking kind of work. Darash Rav Avira, famous line, Bishar Noshim Tzidkonios, Shayu Ba'osu Adar, that in the merit of the women of the Tzidkonios that lived in that generation, Nigalu Yisrael Mimitzrayim, that the Jewish people were redeemed from Mitzrayim. Let's hopefully discuss that shortly, right before Shachris, in just a few minutes. Bishosh Alochos L'shov Mayim, because when they were going to draw water, Amram at that point declared that the men should get divorced from their wives because they're going to have to throw the boys into the water anyways and die. So Amram got divorced and he was kind of the manhig then and he kind of convinced everybody else also to do so. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mizamin lehem dagim katanim b'chadein. So when the women went to go get water from the sea, Hashem kind of sent them a lot of little fish. V'shovos mechza mayim mechza dagim. So that they'd have kind of half water and half fish inside their jugs, which was a lot of fish when you just kind of try to pick up some water. If anybody's tried to fish in the past, they know what I mean. Ubos v'shoftos shtei kederes achas shacham and vachashel dagim, and they kind of prepared it in a nice way. Umolichos teitzabalein l'sadeh, and they went out to their husbands in the fields. Umarchitzos osan v'sachos shacham and v'sachos osan umachilos osan umashkos osan, and they prepared themselves. They washed themselves. They made sure that they were all fresh, and they fed their husbands umashkos osan, and they gave them to drink. V'nizkokos len bein sfasim, and they at that point they were able to be with their husbands in a tznius kind of way. On the side there. Shenemar, im tishkavun bein sfasim v'gomer. Beschar tishkavun bein sfasim, and because they were able to draw their husbands in such a way, and have, and be with them in such a tznius way, zochu Yisrael lebizas Mitzrayim. And therefore, that the Jewish people were, so to say, zochu to the bizas, to the spoils of Mitzrayim. Shenemar, kanfeyona nechpa bechesef, vevrosea biyarkek, biyarakrek charutz. V'kevan shemis abros bos, v'kevan shemis abros, both levatam, that when they came pregnant into their homes, they came to magia zman molden, that when it came time for them to have the babies, holchos v'yodos besada tachas hatapuach, they went and they were able to give birth tachas hatapuach, which literally means an apple tree. Whether it's an apple tree or not is a discussion. Shemar tachas hatapuach over atich v'gomar. The Kadosh Baruch Hu sholech mishmei marom. That Hashem was literally the one who was acting like, so to say, the person who was taking care of them, who was taking care of the Vlad itself. Or Hashem sent an angel to take care of the Vlad. Shenemar, umoldosaych biyom holedes oscha. Osach lo kares sarcha? Sarcha? Uvamayim lorachatzda lemashe v'gomer. umelaket lahen shnei agulin. Sorry? Sharech. And he kind of gathered for them a couple bundles, echad shel shemen v'echad shel dvash, right? Oil and honey, shenemar v'yanikehu dvash misela v'shemen v'gomer, that Hashem prepared the types of nutrients for the child. V'kevan shemakirin ben Mitzrayim v'boin l'hargon, that once the non-Jewish people, once the Mitzrayim recognized what was going on and they came to kill them, v'asam l'nes, Hashem made a nes v'nivlon v'karka, so that all these children, and a lot of children, were being born inside the fields, that the Mitzrayim came to try to kill them. But Hashem made a nes that these children were kind of swallowed up into the ground. Umavian shvarim v'chorshin al gabon. So what did the Mitzrayim do? They brought their plows, and they're plowing the ground. They're trying to do as much as they can to kill the kids. Shemar al gabi chorshin v'chorshin v'gomer. And tell them, la'achar shaholchin hoyu mevatzin v'yotzin. And once they left, once the Mitzrayim left, Hashem made a nes, ke'esev ha'sadeh, that just like grass sprouts from the ground, the children kind of sprout out from the earth again. Shenemar, riva katzema chasada nesatich. Mekeven shemit gadlin, that once they grew up, boy nadorn adorn, they were kind of coming in herds and herds, levotan, that these children who were literally being, they were being weaned in the fields, and that they came on herd home. Shenemar, vatarbi vatigadli vatavoy badei adim. Al tikri badei adim, ela ba'adre adorn, they came lots and lots home. Uch shnigal kadosh baruch hu al yam, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally saved the Bnei Yisrael by the yam, heim hi kiruhu, that they recognized Hashem tchila first. That because they had such an intimate relationship with Hashem, so to say, that these children grew up in the fields, so that the Mitzrayim shouldn't really notice them, and Hashem was literally sending an angel to take care of them and food for them to eat. It was a total miraculous existence. So therefore, they recognize Hashem first by the water. And literally, this is Hashem, and I will glorify Him. And therefore, that was the relationship that they had then. I remember seeing, and I don't remember where I remember seeing, but we have Sarah, right? Sarah gave birth at the age of 90, right? Big miracle, she gave birth at the age of 90. What about Yocheved, right? Gave birth at the age of 130?
Yeah.
Right? But we don't talk about that much. She was 130 years old. So one of the answers I heard, and I wish I remembered where, was that the whole existence at this point was just a miraculous existence. It was like everything was, you read this Gemara, it's like, what? All the women were going, every part of this process was miraculous. It's amazing. And at the same time, the husbands are working backbreaking work, and people are dying. Like, it's an unbelievable thing. But there was miracles taking place throughout the process. Similar perhaps to, we read these stories about the Holocaust, that there's miracles that are taking place throughout the tragedies that are happening too. So two years, we recognize that the miracles were taking place. Just one more thought before Shacharis. The Torah in Siman Tuf Yud Zayin explains the concepts here about the women, right? As I said before, that the Nashim Tzidkanios. So the Torah says that the Shalosh Regalim they correspond to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the 12 months correspond to the Shvatim. That's what he says. But what happened when the Bnei Yisrael sinned with the Egel? So no longer did the Rosh Chodesh correspond to the Shvatim, but it transferred to the women. That's what he says. That the women, and that's why we have nowadays halachos and halachos on Rosh Chodesh that are special for the women. They shouldn't do certain things, and we should try to take out, all great stuff for women on Rosh Chodesh that don't apply to the men. What's the pshat? What's the connection between the women and Rosh Chodesh? Says Rabbi Rosner, he brings it down beautifully that what? And this thought I remember for a while, it's beautiful. And by the Egel, what happened? Did the women give their stuff over, the jewelry over? No. They did not. Why? Because they deep down knew that Moshe was going to come back. It was an issue for them. They knew, they had that optimism, they knew that Moshe was going to save them. And so to what? The Nashim Tzidkanios in Mitzrayim. What do we describe here? Or if we remember that when the Bnei Yisrael sang Oz Yashir, what did the women do? They sang and they also... From where? They were running out of Mitzrayim. They didn't have enough time for their bread to rise to bread. They had to eat matzah. They didn't have cars with trunks. They had no U-Hauls. They have their instruments. Oh, their instruments. Baruch Hashem. Can't go without that guitar. What happened? So beautiful. They knew that Hashem was going to save them. The men perhaps were more, skeptical about what was going to be inside the desert. Are we going to die? Are we not? But the women knew. And they didn't want to just sing, but they wanted to celebrate. They wanted to dance. They wanted to create a whole orchestra type of concert. And therefore, they brought their instruments. So in the limited amount of package and baggage that they were able to bring on the flight, they wanted to bring their instruments to celebrate. What happens on Rosh Chodesh? How big is the moon? Zero. We can't see it at all. So to say, it's like the women, metaphorically, know that it's going to come back, know that it's going to be light again. In the darkness of the night, they know it's going to come back. We doubt. Women know, and therefore every Rosh Chodesh, when there's no moon and the dark night is perfectly pitch dark, we have to take the message of the women and recognize that so too it's going to be light once again. Let's have a great day. And Yimertz Hashem, we'll start on somewhere, a good starting point on the bottom of Yud Beis, Amud Beis, or at the top of the next time, for Sunday morning. No shared on Shabbos, but hopefully we'll find somebody who's able to give it and we'll find a consistent thing for Shabbos. But Yimertz Hashem, we'll pick them on Sunday. It was a great week of learning together. Thanks for being here.